Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It is another blessed day in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Eliza message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word to Midnight Cry Broadcast. I want to thank God for all you listening to the broadcast here in the United States. Welcome. Welcome to those of you in Canada and Spain, Ireland. We want to welcome you also, United Kingdom and the Netherlands, and every country that I have not named that is listening to the broadcast. I want to welcome you to Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Now, if you have any prayer requests, we'll pray with you. If you have a question about the lesson, we will do our best in the Lord Jesus to answer it for you. If you have any comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes based on the duration time of the broadcast. And if you are looking for any information that you can get to get copy of the messages that the Lord has sent, we will get that information to you. We do understand that there are some of you that's listening who may have a question, who may have a prayer request that you don't like to say over the air. Send it to my email address, NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com, NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com, and I will get back to you on that. Glory be to God. So here in the United States here, it is Sunday evening or, you know, Sunday night or whatever. And for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, it is the full gospel message for Brother Eddie Lee. And as we wait for my brother to come on to head this out, once again, I thank the Lord Jesus for all of you that are listening today. May the Lord bless you and keep you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. For all glory and honor and praise, go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is worthy to be praised, people. He is worthy to be glorified. He is worthy to be lifted up. Amen. Glory be to God. There's none greater. There's none better than him. There's none before him. Nor is there any after would be after him. Glory be to God. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is number one. So we thank God for this opportunity he's given us to share the word of God with you guys. Amen. Glory be to God. And once again, he's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Amen. So once again, as we wait for my brother to come on, I want to wish happy Mother's Day to all of you women that is listening who are mothers. Happy Mother's Day to you all. I thank God for preserving you and keeping you. Some of you had to be, to a degree, mama and maybe dad at times to the kids, even though it's, you know, hard to really just fill that role because the man has his role, the woman has his her role in the home. But I thank God for there are some single mothers out there who have been doing their best to take care of their kids. And there are some single mothers out there who are doing their best to take care of their kids with the Lord. Amen. And so I'm grateful to that. Amen. My mom, before she passed, she was a single parent. And she had five kids. And she raised her kids. Okay. And, you know, sometimes as children, we're on the outside looking in. But being a parent myself now and having grown kids, I understand that was a task, people, you know, and I'm married. Okay. So, you know, if it's a task and I'm married, you know, it was something and a parent being single. Okay. A single parent. So, you know, I once again, want to say happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. Now I want to pass my sister on here. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brother. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for you this day. Once again, happy Mother's Day to you, sister. And we are grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ for you being on the broadcast this day. And, you know, being a mother, amen. And I would just saying that, you know, me being a parent and I'm married, you know, my mother was a single mom. She was single parent, rather. And mm-hmm. She had five kids, and she raised, you know, her five kids. So I'm like, my Lord, if it's something when you married, I can imagine, you know, being a single parent.
Yeah.
Good Lord, raising her kids. But, you know, at that time, I was on the outside looking in, you know. But now, being a parent myself, I can, you know, understand how very challenging that is. Very challenging.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So,
and then not just the one day, your mother every day of the year.
Yes, Lord. That's true. You know, that is true. 100% true. Can't just up and just, you know, take off, say, hey, I'm going to take a break from being a mother today. You know, it don't work like that. People, and, you know, I thank God for the mothers who, you know, sister, the mothers in the church, I know, especially in the times I was coming up, you know, many of them had a standard. About, you know, these young ladies weren't walking in no church service with no real short, not something on. Mm-hmm. I mean, they gonna grab something and throw it over the legs and then get that girl talking to. Man, them church mothers. But I'm grateful to them. I had shared with Sister Helen, I think, yesterday. I know you remember Mama Lemmy here in Mississippi.
Yeah, I do.
And Mama Lemmy, she was used, you know, sister, one particular Sunday. You know, one of the things I used to, and the Lord delivered me from and healed me from, I used to have a lot of migraine headaches every day. And when I was like 20, I think I was like 21, 22, but when I would come into service, I would go sit in the back. You know, and when services started going on, I would put my head down. And many times, sister, to be honest with you, I put my head down. I ain't been and went to sleep, you know. But I many times I go and put my head down every service, every Sunday. And I didn't really understand that Mama Lemmy was paying attention like she was. So, you know, I didn't for a while. And so one particular Sunday, we were dismissing, everybody hugging one another, greeting one another. And, you know, Mama Lemmy was short.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we all dismissed and hugged one another, I walked up to Mama Lemmy. Now, I'm finna get ready to give her a hug. Mama Lemmy holla, let me tell you something. She said, when you come in here and serve, you hold your head up. Man, she caught me off guard, sister. So I looked at her like, man, Mama Lemmy. And I tell you, that one time she did it, tell me I wasn't looking out for Mama Lemmy. She had to worry about that too much no more. She got on me, but that had to happen. That was needed. God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Well, as long as faith and God exists, my hope is Him, then it's well. It makes no difference what the day look like. Beyond that, I see. We proclaim the hope. And hope that is still alive. So I'm grateful today as we celebrate birth year. One day is not enough. So to all the real mothers, and we celebrate the motherhood and the true gift of God, the women, the wives, who are mothers, and we are so grateful for that. They are, I call, the backbone of the nation, the mothers, the women. Now, I know they want to make them the side bone or the neck bone, whatever bone they came out of Adam. But that bone that he created is the vessel to shaping and calling the development of a nation. So I give great regards to mothers, those that even are wives, even greater, have husbands, so we give honor to them. Honor, special honor to them today. Now, those that are blessed who still have their mothers in the land of the living, they are doubly blessed.
Amen.
And those that have enjoyed the blessedness of having wonderful, caring, loving mothers with them to develop their lives is, were and is greatly blessed. So I honor the women and mothers in particular. And even though Mother Mary, who gave birth to the Son of Man, the Son of God, she said, Elizabeth proclaimed that she was her name, she should be honored, and she is honored because she gave birth. She was used to give birth to the Son of Man. So the only difference is we don't worship Mary like the Catholic Church do, and we don't pray to Mary, which is heretic teaching that are praying to dead. We don't pray to any dead people. That's called familiar spirit. And so we do honor the women that has lived and gone on. We give special honor to all of them and mothers. And even in the Church of Christ, with Elijah Methodist, many spiritual mothers and also physical mothers, we give special recognition and honor to them today. Mothers, as I said, spiritual mothers in the body of Christ, spiritual mother, and mentors, mothers who adopted children that are not theirs and who cared for them, I give them great recognition because there's a lot of orphans in the land, and there are women and who are called to be mothers to them and take them under their wings. So I just want to give triple, double to those kind of women, okay?
Yes, amen.
Thank God. One of my greatest gifts that God gave me is my mother and my father, my grandmother on my mama's side, and my granddaddy. So they were unusual. I guess everybody, not everybody, but I can say unequivocally that my mother in the flesh, my mother and father in the flesh biologically was, and grandma and grandfather had the greatest impact on my life. So I'm grateful.
Yeah.
They were a gift of God to me from heaven, that it was no coincidence, no accident. And so I'm thankful for that today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Joe. Now, I don't want to offend nobody out there. And, you know, there are people and millions of them are praying to Mother Mary. There's no really soft way often to tell people, or sometimes easy way without some people being offended at truth. No matter how you put it, how soft, how loving you put it, when you reveal a certain truth that is a lie, who people are holding to be truth but a lie, that millions of people are calling on Mother Mary and Mother this one and Mother that one. They are the saints that they're praying to. And I regret to see millions of people who are praying to dead people. And I am grievous because that's why the importance of the gospel of Christ must go to the ends of the earth. It's the single most important thing that is to take place in his last days. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Justifier, and the Reconciler, and the one that was risen, this message of eternal hope must be given to the end of the earth. Every time the Bible door opens, every time from the prophets to Jesus coming, the greatest message of all, unto you is born this day in a city of David, Bethlehem of Judea. Good tidings of great joy. Unto you given the Lord, the King of the Jews, our Savior, Christ the Lord. And that's
Amen.
The central theme in the loving care of a redeeming gospel of Christ and to all people and all nations. So a woman was used to be a surrogate to the body of the seed of David, Jesus Christ, to be, now she was not immaculate conception or none of that. They worship. Mary was not sinless. She had a nature under Adam, like all the rest of them, but she lived a pure, virtuous, and holy life because she was about 15, 16 years old. I think when she had Jesus, she was about 16, maybe between 15 and 16. Now, we don't want to confuse the troubles that we see in the world today where girls are having babies at an early age, which is not a wonderful thing unless they're married or settled in a home with children. But in the Hebrew Israelite culture, having children was a great blessing bestowed upon you by God. And so we read the history that God will fill our quiver with many arrows. And the Lord, in Israel, when you had a bunch of children, I mean a lot of children, you were blessed. You were considered blessed. And the woman that could not bear children, they were considered, it was considered cursed. And so, well, you know,
yeah.
I think it's kind of reversed now. But anyway, we won't go down that road. We're not going around that road. We're going to be real nice today, brother. We're going to be real nice, okay?
All right. Hmm. Amen.
We're going to let you, let you take the front row. I'm going to take the second seat this day. Okay.
let me get hit, huh?
Yeah. It ain't your day. Your Father's Day will come later. We'll let you off the hook when your Father's Day goes. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Thank you. But anyway, to your wife and all the other wives who are mothers, I agree to you and I'm thankful for you for the great calling of motherhood. It's one of the greatest calling that God has given women, and the calling of motherhood, probably any greater than calling except coming to Christ and the calling of motherhood. Okay. Well, wonderful Jesus. We'll call that wonderful Jesus, and I'm sure Mary is in heaven with her son. I think it's reversed. She worshiping him. He's not worshiping her. So let's get it straight. So all the nice Catholics, and all the Catholics and the Greek Catholics and all the Orthodox or whatever people who got a big old statue of Mother Mary. And I know they mean well. They've been taught. And they were wonderful. And they're bowing down to this big statue of Mother Mary, Holy Mother of God. Now, I'm sorry about that confusion. Holy Mother of God. And they're praying to somebody to help them because they've been taught. Mother Mary is going to intercede. Pray to Mother Mary. I wonder, have they read the Bible, Brother Nate?
No, I don't think too many of them have, brother.
That put the Catholic Church up there with, I don't know, what do you call it, false Christianity? Idolatry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
amen.
All right. And are we to warn these people? Or are we to be quiet?
Oh, we got to warn them, brother. Got to warn.
Wait a minute, brother. That don't sound like no love. We got to warn, open the eyes of people by billions and hurting their feelings. We don't want to hurt their feelings, brother.
That's the love.
That's the love.
Wait a minute now.
That's the love.
You mean, but you're going to hurt their feelings.
Mm-hmm, because you love them.
Oh, yeah.
So if we don't warn them and care, and we don't love them enough to warn them, what that makes us?
Mm-hmm.
In trouble. In trouble.
So Ezekiel and Jeremiah said, if we fail to warn them, if the Christians don't warn them, judgment against paganism, heathenism, if we don't care, then we fail to warn them, right? If we don't love. But Jesus was hated by many people. You know, most people don't talk about how Jesus was hated when he was upon the earth. Why do you think he was crucified? Why do you think he was crucified? But he was just passing out lemons, brother Nate. Just passing out lemons. Think that's why they crucified him?
Oh no.
Well,
speaking the truth.
Jeremiah the prophet was put in a hole in a pit for many days because he said, "Thus said Jehovah." And the scripture says they put him in the outer court at first, and then they put him in a inner court where they sunk him down deep in a mud pit. No electrolyte now, brother. No fans. No screens. No food. No grocery store. And no water. In a dark mud pit. The prophet of God, Jeremiah. So what do we think we're going to get in these last days? Is God going to let us off the hook?
Yes. Oh, no. It won't be no cotton candy, brother.
Oh, you mean we're going to be tried and tested, too?
That's the word.
Yes, we are.
I think a lot of people don't believe in the ultimate test. The ultimate test is called Great Tribulation.
Yeah.
I didn't say the wrath of God. Now, there are believers that God ain't going to let us. There's a difference between the Great Tribulation and the wrath of God poured out. That's the difference. And that, you know, people say, well, God ain't going to let us. No, no, the wrath of God is not for the righteous, but Great Tribulation is for them. That's, I say Great Tribulation, the test. What is called the ultimate test, the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the test. You know, Peter, James, and John in the early church had their test, the same test we're going to have, the anti-Jehovah, the anti-Christ in that day, the false prophet, the false nation in that day. So I wonder what people think that they let Peter, James, and John, they didn't get away. Why do they think we're not going to be tested? Where did you get that from, Brother Nate?
Your guess is good as mine, brother, but it didn't come from the Lord, that's for sure.
Oh, brother, you one of them. I can see you don't believe in the snatching away quick before that happens. I can see you one of those. So
no, but the only thing I can say about that, brother, it sounds good. That's all I can say. It sounds good.
It sure enough sounds good, brother. I ain't going to have to go through that ultimate test. That sounds good. I mean, who wouldn't hear that preaching, man, and shout and jump? Who wouldn't want to jump on that? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I wonder, has it got an answer for all these coronavirus we suffer now? 1 million people have died from this coronavirus, at least. And I wonder how they got an answer. I thought they probably thought they was not going to see the coronas and the other virus and the one that's coming after that. I wonder why they're still here, brother.
Amen.
Because they came with the wrong thing, brother. They got to come with something else now.
That will play it out. That one played out? Okay. All right.
Out.
Well, I love my brothers. They love the Christ. And even though we do not believe in some minor things, could turn out to be major things, as long as they're built upon the foundation of Christ. Now, tonight, I'd like to just say a couple of things, because we're not going to be able to finish it until maybe the next two Fridays, next Fridays and Saturdays. But I can't jam it all. And I found out that it's too elaborate and too important and has to be taken time and a foundation has to be laid why the death and the resurrection of Christ is the most important points. I was just glancing at something. Why is the resurrection of Christ the secret and the only eternal hope for all mankind to live again in the presence of God and have a new body, a risen body, which cannot die anymore. Now, in the resurrection, why did Christ have to, why did Messiah, Yeshua Mashiach, why did he not only have to die, if he had to stop us dying and shedding his blood, that would not have been enough. Now, most people don't understand that. That by itself would not have been enough.
Amen. Amen.
And most people do not understand why around the world, most good, nice people, religion, do not believe in the body of the resurrection of Christ. If you talk to most of the people, and some people are good people, wonderful nations, who believe in many good things that they've been raised in culture in all their lives, their century, and they say, there's no such thing, you know, body getting up from the dead and being resurrected. Why y'all get all that stuff in? Y'all Christians, y'all come up with that stuff. And they come up with a nice answer when Christ, the Messiah, the Hebrew, the one that came through Abraham, said, one victory conquered death and the grave. Now, why is that so important? And even some Christians do not understand that the return, the atonement of Christ, which in part represented his death and suffering and the blood, is not sufficient for us to have eternal hope. Now, because they think that the atonement would just stop there and that's good enough and that's the end of Jesus. Why did Jesus keep saying, on the third day I will rise again? Why was that so important in the message of a redemption, justification, reconciliation, and glory? Why he kept proclaiming the importance of me rising again, my resurrection. Now, I want you to, why you think around the world, most of the major religions in the world refute, reject, and renounce this great truth that Jesus the Christ, the one called Yeshua Mashiach, the seed of Abraham, one conquered death and the grave. Why do you think that, why so many religions, they accept Jesus as a man, as a master, as a good man, but they accept this part? He did not die for my sins of the world. He did not shed his blood for the whole world. And he sure enough didn't get up bodily from the grave. Why do you think they fight against that so much? Anybody have any scripture why they fight against the bodily resurrection of our Lord?
Well, if they receive that not only that he lived and he suffered, he died, and they don't want to accept that he was resurrected and they rose again, because if they receive that, then they have to receive other words, such as that he died for our sins, sickness, disease. We have to believe in the redemption and reconciliation. I mean, to believe some parts, you have to accept other things. You have to believe other parts of the word, too. So if I don't have to receive the part that he was resurrected, then I don't have to receive the part that he died for my sin. I don't have to believe the part that in Romans that it talks about that we have to believe with our mouth and confess that Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins. If he wasn't resurrected, then I don't have to believe that part either.
Okay. Now, you notice the Apostle Paul is talking to Jews and Gentiles in his day. And in Romans 10, what is it, Romans 10 and verse what? 9, 30, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Right.
Notice the words he says as he revealed this truth to the non-Jewish people and Gentiles.
Right.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Notice what he's saying now. The Lord
right.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And believe in thy heart.
Yeah.
That God raised him from the dead. Why is that so important of the gospel that Satan fights so hard to conceal and to deceive people everywhere? That, do you know there's wonderful good people in all the world who are yet in spiritual blind and pagan, but they are good people. They're just blind and culturally deceived. But and why do most of all the religions now deny this revelation? Upon this rock I build my church and my people, and the gates of hell sure enough ain't gonna prevail. If we hold to this truth, the gates of hell ain't gonna prevail against it. It's trying to prevail, Brother Nate. It's trying to prevail. It's all over the world. It's trying to prevail against this. It's trying to do all this can. It's shaking heaven and hell. Hey, go. And my good people in Islam who are under the deception of what is his name, Muhammad and his teaching and the God Allah they created. Do you understand where I'm trying to give you a point? There's 1 billion people that believe this lie. Now, there's many more than that, but the Islam people who bow down in Mecca, Medina, who pray 5 times a day and have strict rules, do not believe this and reject this and even curse at it. He's no savior. They just had sex, Mary and whatever they got caught. That made him a sinner like the rest of them. Then the next thing he said, well, he's just a good man, but they just got to bed, and here comes Jesus. And then Jesus, he had sex with Mary Magdalene, and just like anybody else, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he had some children and all that stuff. And then they said, he did not conquer death or raise from the dead. They came and stole his body and took it away mm-hmm. and said, his disciples, Rob stole the body, then they paid people to say he's risen from the dead. Now, why are those two things, which we call upon this rock I build my people, 15th chapter of Matthew, this rock of truth, eternal rock. This is the eternal truth. This is not a human truth. This is not just a physical truth. This is a eternal truth. This is the eternal revelation of why it's so important when Jesus said to the disciples, upon this rock, I will build my people. And the gates of hell will do all this can to prevail. And we see it has fought a good fight, the devil. Now, Paul is preaching and teaching from the Jewish point and the Gentiles part of the people in the church. He says, in Romans 10, if thou, and most people don't understand why he didn't say, if he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth,
yeah,
the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that the Father raised him from the dead,
yeah,
and Romans said, quicken his mortal body. Quicken his mortal body, brother, after he was dead for 3 days, wrapped and dead. And he rose again. Most people, they say this on Easter Day, but they don't really understand the depth of it, what they're saying. And comprehend the importance of this message completely to the whole world. Now, the angel, the messenger, Elijah is restoring truth today. If he was to leave out the death and resurrection of Jesus, you could not believe this angel. I'm telling you, this is how you know the difference between the devil and the Lord. They said the angel messenger of the Lord is not coming in these last days. And one of the first tests you give anything, what does it say? The first test you discern where it's coming from, what is this message, is this angel coming from God, is what he confesses about Christ. Now, when people get this angel's message to restoring the gospel, and one of the restoration truths that's coming today, they're not testing it correctly. The first major test you give it What source is this angel? Is this of the devil? Is this of man? This is what you got to put. There are three tests you can put it through. First major test is, what does this messenger, what does this angel confess about the Lord Jesus, his birth, death, and his resurrection? Now, see, devils and demons cannot confess his birth, death, and resurrection as being salvation. Demons can't do that because demons are not going to preach the gospel. See, this is what people don't realize. Demons can't preach the gospel to you and tell you, follow this and you'll get redeemed. Demons will not do that. Deceivers cannot do that. Satan cannot do that. That's why he raised all these false religions up. Why do you think that all these multitudes of false religion of since the fall of Adam and created all this stuff? Because you cannot be redeemed. You cannot be redeemed. Mm-hmm. You can understand what the scripture said. You cannot be redeemed from the curse of Adam. You cannot be redeemed. Now, the people say that, but they don't fully understand the importance of no one can be redeemed. I put it that way. Romans 5. Romans 3, Romans 6, just go out, Galatians 3 and 3, John 3, 6, and just go through the whole Bible. You cannot be redeemed from the curse. You cannot be reconnected to God and given life. Cannot. By any other means, by any other plan or purpose, by one. And you cannot be redeemed from the curse of sin and death. Cannot. According to the Bible, according to the prophets, and according to Jesus. This is why when you talk to people and they get violently upset at times when you mention the risen Christ. Well, you can talk to the Jews who are God's chosen people after the flesh. And they will, many of them who are still in blindness, they're good people, God's chosen people. But when you mention the Messiah, the Holy One, Jesus, they get exceedingly mad. You know why? The Islam people, some of them are good people, but when mentioned the risen Christ, they get upset because the spirit in them must deny the truth unless they are honest heart person.
Mm.
You hear me now? You understand?
Yeah.
Why? Amen. The resurrection and body of the resurrection Christ from death. Now, Jehovah's Witness, they give some little sprinkles of truth, and they have updated their truth. I like this, Brother Nate. Jehovah's Witness, a lot of them are good people, and Lord is going to redeem and save many of them out of that. They've been coming to my door for 50 years, and I know what they've been teaching in the beginning, and I know when they changed their teaching. they don't know that I used to hear that teaching when I was a young man, and they used to knock on my grandfather's door. And then about 20 years ago, they had to change their teaching. They don't think I asked Jehovah's Witness, how long have you been in this Jehovah's Witness? Oh, I've just been, I said, listen, I've been hearing y'all for 50 years. I know what y'all changed. I know what y'all changed your doctrine in. I know when you updated your doctrine because some of they found it was false and it didn't come to truth, and y'all had to update your truth. And I said, I know your book, in the beginning, what y'all used to teach. Then y'all had to change it. Now, I listen here. The message of the everlasting gospel restored, Angel Elijah come, that's coming today with this message. If he doesn't acknowledge, confess, and declare the basic gospel, redemption, justification, reconciliation, and glory, you can put a deaf ear. It's not from God. You go to an angel's message, see what he proclaimed about Jesus Christ. If he doesn't proclaim the Lord, I don't care whether it's this work or any other work. If they can't proclaim this, you know where it comes from. Man or the devil. Two of them, but man or the devil. Huh?
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong?
You're right about it.
Amen. So,
hallelujah. Wow. They used to have a group. I have met many groups, religions, people, I don't know what you are, but I've come in contact. I made it my point to get to know about some of the major religions and went to their some of their meetings, led, and had not only read about them, but I heard some of them in person.
Mm-hmm.
You are blessed to be in America. I know we as black people have suffered much and still suffer some things. But we are blessed for this greatly reason. Even though we were brought here in chains and slavery and still oppressed and still discriminated and still racism against us, we are blessed. Can anybody say this?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, sir. So I'm about to make a few people mad here. So put your seatbelt on. Y'all got your seatbelt on?
Amen.
Red.
Now, Nate, Brother Nate, you are giving and teaching and preaching and speaking on the radio in this Elijah Method climate, and I'm glad for you because we don't have too many people have the courage to do it. So I'm not flattering you. I'm just saying I'm trying to encourage you to keep on going because it's like a, you know, we don't have too many John the Baptist in this time crying loud.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's why I miss Brother Robert Gross over in Chicago. I miss him entirely because he was the only one, I should say only one, but he was the foot soldier that was strong in the Lord and strong in the Elijah message and in the works and the knowledge of God. And he was committed, and he was not a scary cat like you or I. He was not a scary cat. He was a bold soldier. He'd just tell you just like it is, and he wouldn't break a smile. And Brother Nate, I know you have to smile, and I have to smile, but Robert didn't break no smile. He just told you and walked away. One thing about Robert and I was alike on several points. He wasn't too worried about whether you liked him or not.
Right.
And he wasn't too concerned about whether you liked him when he laid it on you. Okay?
Yeah, he was.
He demonstrated his love for you, but he was a John the Baptist type like you, Brother Nate. He just laid it on you. You could either eat it, drink it, or throw it up. And he had great love for people and great for people. You could know that and sense that. But he had to give you the castor oil whether you want to take it or not. So all you people out there are looking for a lemonade gospel only. The Lord going to give you some lemonade, some Kool-Aid, because he's a good God. He's a loving God. But he's going to give you some castor oil, too. Have any of y'all had any castor oil in your life when you grew up? You did?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But they did have some good castor oil when they clean you out and get you ready for school in the rural South, especially. They give you a good dose of castor oil. Of course, they don't do that anymore.
No, they don't do that no more, brother. You got the watered down version now, brother.
Well, if you give us a real castor oil, the people that say you what they call it, abusing your children,
they want to make Kool Aid now, brother.
Oh yes. Oh my goodness. So that's the way with the raw, a hard side of the truth. It's a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts sometimes, but sometimes the surgeon has cut on you to make you get better. Is that right?
Right.
Sometimes.
Thank God for the surgeons because they saved many lives. Let's commend our doctors. They got a hard, difficult job. Many of them love their job, and many of them are serious about helping and saving people, many of them.
Amen.
Okay. So thank God for them. God gave us them. All right, then. Now we got about a few minutes left. The resurrection, I want two questions tonight before we go down. Why the importance and the greatest importance of these two parts, three parts, the blood, the atonement, the Passover, the Immaculate Lamb, and the telling the story that Jesus was not born with sin in his nature, that he was not conceived in sin, nor did have the sin of nature, and that her birth, his birth, Mary gave birth without having sex with any man. And here's why the Islam go crazy. Ain't nobody can have no without having a sex and blah, blah, blah. And they go up. And so he's just, and see, the devil is cunning and cunning and cunning.
Yes, he is.
There is a guy when I was going to King College back here a long while ago in Chicago. And in college, you meet all different types of people with different kind of backgrounds, color, races, and thinking. And so we had to try to get this Christian group in the college, a Christian gathering, and we have all these different people. And so I met a guy, a man that I used to go to high school, I hadn't seen him in years. And he was in this religion, one of these religions, what you call it, Nate, them religion y'all been preaching about, one of them, I can't think of all these different. Huh?
Is it like the Rosicrucians
Not Rosicrucians. We got a couple of them here in Chicago, they're in the suburbs. What they call it? Not Rosicrucian, but anyway, I'll think about it, what their religion was. So I ran up on him. I hadn't seen him since we was in high school, which is about, I don't know, maybe almost almost 30 years since I hadn't seen him. And we came together in a group in the college there, and I found out that he believed in some other one of those, well, religions that did not believe the gospel of Christ, I put it that way. Now, I want to read scriptures before we get out of here about the importance, the part of the gospel about redemption, which is called recovery and remedy. What is the recovery and the remedy that God provided and said to Israel and to the whole world, a recovery and a redemption. And this redemption includes a remedy and a recovery. Recovery. Then the next thing, how can a man be righteous before God? That's impossible. And the next step is, how did God reconcile you when all human flesh from him because of a cursed nature? You know why people just think that it's their sin that they have to deal with, that God, but how did you get into becoming a sinner? You were not in the beginning. God did not create no sinners. He created Adam and Eve. They were not sinners. How did man become sin cursed? Not just his sin, but sin cursed. It's the problem with all humanity, how they got in that condition. They received because of Adam's sin choice, which is called rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
What did humanity become because of their blood, corrupt blood, and sinful nature when all flesh are born in this world, in this life? It is a nature, not just their sins that we focus on. It's the nature of sin. And the nature creates your character and what you become and how you live. So listen, can you be born out of your nature? Nicodemus in the third chapter of John says, how can a man be born again when he comes born out of his mother's womb? The mystery of the kingdom is spiritual birth, spiritual rebirth. I call it the spiritual rebirth. It's called recreation. We are recreated. We receive the new creation, which is a recreation. Now, We're going to read one scripture found in Job. Anyone got Job 14 and 14? And we're going to read just these two scriptures, Job 14 chapter, 14 verse, and then we're going to go to Job 19 and 25. Why do you go to the ends of the earth? And the one message that's clear and distinct to recover and redeem the human race. Anybody got, you got it, sister? I guess.
Job 14 and 14.
Yes.
If a man die, shall he live again? All the
shall
days.
A man?
If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time, will I wait till my change come?
Now, Job, this came up in Job's conversation, in his condition that brought this out. The question arises among all the people, if a man die, shall he live again?
Mm-hmm.
And Job says, all the days that I'm living or I'm alive, this question is still asked. And Job said, I'm waiting till my change comes. What was the change? Because the hopelessness of mankind, shall I live again? Now, let's go over. Now, Job was about 3,000 years. Job lived about, he lived well over 2,000 years before Christ was born. And so that would make him, 2,000 years after now, would make him, this event took 4,000 years ago. Now, let's see. In Job chapter 19, verse 25, will a man live again if he die? All right.
Mm-hmm.
19 chapter, verse 25, continuation of the question. Job said, I'm waiting for my change to come.
Yeah.
That means he saw a vision or he received revelations directly from the living God. He must have knew the living God intimately. Job had to have a relationship, hallelujah,
mm-hmm.
just like Noah did, and someone
yeah.
like Enoch did. Now, 19th mm-hmm. chapter, verse 25 says what, Job?
Mm-hmm. For I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Oh,
and that
now.
He... Mm-hmm.
Did you hear? Did the change? Now, here's a stumper here going from the 14th chapter. And he says, I know. And what is this? The secret to Job's hope and his faith. What is the secret to his hope
yeah.
and his faith? He asked the question that all the questioning wise people in that day would say, shall a man live, shall he die again? He's born of a woman
yeah.
and bus a few days full of trouble, and he should be in the dust. And what's going to happen? You know, and the Jehovah's Witness come on and say, well, you're dead, you're gone, that's it. You don't sleep, you're this. And other groups say, you're dead, you're gone, you're this. And, so all this is saying, so they're switching their minds. So 19:25, Job says something, and that was, this is something well over 3,000 years ago that Job knew this. He knew
mm-hmm.
this before even Moses knew it. Now,
mm-hmm.
let's see.
Mm-hmm.
You hear people say,
got about five.
How many minutes?
Up, brother.
Okay.
About five.
You hear people say all the time, God cannot talk or he doesn't talk to people. And there's another question. Has God talked to people, vivid people, appeared to people, revealed himself to people, or is it that just silent and you can't know? Okay, let's see. Read verse 25. Job says,
mm-hmm.
eternal hope.
For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my sperms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me, but ye shall say, why persecuted we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the persecution of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment.
Three things about the knowing. Knowing means revelation, inward personal knowledge given. Eyes open, whose eyes has not been opened before, when he says, I know. So we're going to go on. Why Job come to this revelation of the truth in his day, and he proclaimed the mystery of question, shall a man live again? Or is there no hope or hopelessness? See, without the resurrection, there's really no hope. Now, those people don't understand that. If the blood was spilled, that's not sufficient. Because if Jesus does not, we're going to see why it's important for him to conquer death and the grave. Hallelujah. So anyway, wherever you are, people, there is hope and there is eternal hope. There's hope and there's eternal hope. Today, wherever you are, hopelessness, despairing of life and of in the beginning, looking and wondering, say, is there a reason for me to live, or I just shall die and be no more? But there's people saying, well, you're just dead, you're done. That's it. You're dead and you're done. There ain't nothing else still there. You're Jehovah would say, well, you're out of it, you're asleep, you know nothing, you're gone, and that's, you know, all that stuff. And other people saying, nobody rise again, you know. You live and that's in it. Well, we got some hope with you, brother and sister. We got eternal hope for you. We got a story called redemption and recovery. We got a story called justification and reconciliation and glory. So all of you out there today that lingers in darkness and doubt, Jesus Christ is standing, as Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I'm knocking on your door. I'm giving you this knock. Knock, knock. Come to me. Submit to me. Call upon me, and I will come to you, and I'll bring you into a transformation and forgiveness and give you eternal hope. And my name is Jesus, the living Christ. You can do that today. You can make that decision. That's the beginning of your steps to the path of life called the gospel of Jesus Christ, who loves you. All right, we'll continue next week. And all through this week, Brother Nathaniel Hunt will be proclaiming the everlasting gospel, the end time prophecy of the Church of Christ with Elijah message to all of you. Talk Blog Radio. Tune in to Brother Evangelist Nathaniel Hunt, and you hear the wonderful great news of what the Lord is doing in these latter days, the midnight cry. This is the Church of Christ with Elijah Messer, Ambassador Christ, signing out. Dear sisters, y'all have a blessed day with your family and your loved ones. And you, your wives, treat your wives like they're queens now. You men.
Amen.
You don't have to.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. And we're grateful once again for another blessed broadcast. We thank God for Brother Lee being on and Sister Anderson. And once again, we love you all in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless.